evening, if you'll turn to the book of Psalms, please. Psalms chapter number 119. And also Psalms chapter number 34 this evening. Psalms chapter number 119 and Psalms chapter number 34. By the time you're turning there, let me say I've enjoyed being here. I've enjoyed the preaching and the fellowship. I love this man of God, and I appreciate the Lord letting him come here. And I appreciate the work that he's doing here. And it's just good to be in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you know this or not, but it ain't like this everywhere you go. And I think we as preachers are just a vessel that the Lord uses. And if there's anything done, a lot of times I believe it's done because of the prayers of the church where we're at. And the blessings of God come because they desire something. And so I appreciate the Lord meeting with us. And then I want to say one more thing before I get started tonight. In this building, I have some dear friends. And I believe you ought not wait till people die to pin roses on them. And so I want to thank those men that I've known a long time, who've stood by my side through some rough waters. And I love them, and I'm glad they're here. Amen. All right, Psalms chapter number 119. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then in Psalms chapter number 34, Psalms chapter number 34, and I want to begin reading in verse number 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their trouble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not even one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. Now I want to call your attention back to verse number 12. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? And I'm interested in that last phrase, that he may see good. And I want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord on how to have a good life. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the opportunity once again to be in your house. And Lord, I want to stop right now and thank you for your presence that I feel, Lord. It's an amazing thing to me that how when you stand behind this sacred desk, you can feel the anointing of God and the presence of God. And I want you to know that I know that you're here, and I pray, Lord, that you'd take me as an instrument in your hand tonight and use me, God, to preach to your people. I pray, God, that we might be encouraged and strengthened. God, I pray if there's one here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night that they'd come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray especially tonight for these young people. I pray, God, that you would help them to get a hold. God, they're at the verge of starting their life as adults. And if they can get a hold of these things now, we can raise a generation that loves you and wants to live for you. And God, I pray they'll not have the scars that we do. And God, I pray that you might use them to do a great work for you. Lord, if you'll help me preach now, I'll give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. How long do you want me to preach? All right. How to have a good life. Well, I believe there's several things. Let me say what the world thinks is a good life is not necessarily a good life. Amen. I've been up here this week. I grew up here as a teenager. And I was reminiscing about several of my friends. And let me say that I am thankful to God that He chose the path that my life has taken, and I have no regrets on giving my life to Jesus. Amen. I have no regrets about serving Him. I have no complaints when it comes to the Lord. I think about how my life could have went, how the lives of many of my friends have went, and I want to praise God. Hallelujah. That He has preserved me. Amen. And that He has let me worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. It's a good life if you'll just give it to the Lord. So how can we have a good life? Well, first of all, you can have a good life by taking heed about your words. Taking heed about your words. Here's what He said in verse number 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking God. Now, I don't know about you, but I got here on Monday. This is a lesson that I'm still learning. I got here on Monday and was talking to the pastor, and I made a comment, and almost as soon as I made it, the Holy Spirit jumped in and convicted me, and I began thinking, and all week long I thought, I wish I hadn't said that. But guess what? Once you say it, it's too late. Words are like toothpaste. Once you squeeze them out, you can't take them back. Amen. So it do us all. My problem is I won't put my mouth in motion before I put my brain in gear. Amen. My daddy always said, better to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool and open your mouth and prove it. Amen. The Bible said in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that God's not only had people speak the right word to me at the right moment, but I'm glad that He's let me speak to some people the right word at the right moment, that kept them in the ministry, that encouraged them to go on. Amen. James chapter number 3 and verse number 2 says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Amen. Hey, if you can control your tongue, amen. Hey, I say, well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I quit doing that. I can't afford to lose no more. Amen. So just keep it to yourself. You'll be a lot better off. Amen. If you can't, we used to have a lady that would say, every time she came on her program, she'd say, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Amen. Hey, I'm just saying this. The Bible said in Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Amen. So we're better off just keep our mouth shut. Amen. I'm talking about taking heed. Somebody's already said this week, the Bible says we're going for every idle word. Amen. Well, talking about taking heed about your word. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have words that help. He said in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but people are beat down far enough in our day and time. We ought to be trying to lift them up, amen, instead of putting our foot on their head and pushing them on down, amen. Hey, I want to help people. I even want to help people that are lost. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, I want to give them words that will help them, amen. Be careful about who you hang around with, how they talk. If you're not careful, you'll end up talking just like they do. Amen. I asked a guy the other day. I was in a public place, had my daughter with me, and he was talking awful. I said, hey, buddy, I got my daughter with me. I said, I appreciate you watching the ring. And the heifer that he was with, I mean that in the true sense of the word, amen, she wasn't a lady. And I'm not even sure she was a woman, but she spoke up and began to chew me out. And I made a comment or two. We went back and forth. Finally, I just said, go ahead and curse. I said, it's just an attempt of a weak mind to express itself forthwith. You understand what I'm telling you? I don't know if it helped her much, but it helped me, amen. I remember when men didn't cuss in front of women and children, amen. I'm just simply saying that Lord have words that edify, amen. Words that help. And then words that hurt. Here's what the Bible said, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. Hey, you can mark her down if you hang around with that crowd that is all the time evil communicating. When my wife and I got right with God, me and my wife started going to this church, and there was a woman in that church that would call my wife and would gossip about everything that was going on in the church. Amen. And finally I told my wife, I said, tell her not to call you no more. So I came in from work one night, my wife was on the phone, and I said, who are you talking to? Of course, she mouthed that lady's name. I wanted her to yank the phone out of her hand. I said, I'm tired of you gossiping to my wife. Don't call my house no more. I'm telling the preacher. Bang! Don't listen to people talk about your preacher. Amen. Don't listen to them talk about your church. Amen. It'll corrupt you. It'll make you have hard feelings toward the preacher and toward your church. Amen. Don't listen to that garden. Mind your little head up now. Amen. Here's what it said in Psalm 15:1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be guilty of hurting somebody. Do you know that you can murder somebody with your tongue? Huh? You can assassinate their character? Amen? You can assassinate their reputation? You might as well take a gun and shoot them. Amen? Is that right? Well, help me out. Amen? Well, words that help. Words that
hurt, words of hope. We need to remember Philippians 3:20 said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. I was somewhere the other day, and they were talking about how bad things were. And I said, "Glory to God, I'm getting out of this mess." They said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Heaven." Amen. Do you understand? Words of hope. It don't matter how bad things get down here. This place is not our home. In fact, the worse it looks down here, the better it's looking for us to get out of here. Amen. We have hope. The Lord himself shall send from heaven. He shout the voice of archangel, trump of God. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then which we are alive and remain, shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says this, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Amen. We have hope. Hallelujah. We're getting out of here. Well, take heed about your words. Then you ought to take heed about your walk. Here's what it said in verse number 14. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue." That's what he said in Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Take heed about your walk. I'm thinking of a young man right now that's in prison. He'll probably be in prison the rest of his life because he's with two boys and they stopped to get gas. He didn't know anything was going on. They went in and robbed the gas station and killed the clerk. And because he was in the car, they tried him just like they tried me. You understand? Be careful about who you hang out with. Don't be running around with dope heads and drunks. Amen. If you don't want to be known as a thief, don't hang out with thieves. Amen. If you don't want to be known as loose, don't run around with them that's loose. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't mind being known. All right, we went out to eat one night with this couple. My daughter was playing fast pitch softball. That lady knew I was a preacher, and she proceeded to tell me, she said, "I don't like that hellfire and brimstone, King James only, hell hot, sin hating. I don't like them kind of preachers." She said, "What kind are you?" I said, "That kind." Amen. I don't make no apologies for that. Amen. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Amen. We don't hang out with them no more. Hallelujah. Amen. She wanted to know what I was, so I told her. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, how many of you know what a circumspect walk is? Let me give you an illustration. It's like a cat walking the top of a fence with a bulldog on each side ready to eat him up. He's being careful about where he puts his feet. Amen. We ought to be careful about where we go. Amen. We ought to be careful about who we associate with. Amen. Hey, I'm saying our walk. Somebody's watching you. Amen. Somebody's watching your life. Amen. By the way, they're going to follow you somewhere. They're either going to follow you to heaven or they're going to follow you to hell. But somebody is following you, and where are they going to follow you to? Amen. Somebody was talking last week where I was at. There was a car pulled up, had Bible verses all down both sides and all across the back, and I commend them for that. But I don't do that. You say, "Why don't you do that, preacher?" Because I'm not Christian enough. You say, "What are you talking about?" Well, first of all, I speed.
I don't travel under the law. I travel under grace. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Amen. The second reason I don't put Bible verses on my car is because if you cut me off in traffic, Holy Spirit's been working on me in that area. Last time I did that, I shook my fist at this guy. I stopped up the road to get gas. Guess who pulled in? He come over and said, "Sorry about that." What am I going to say? "Oh, I'm a Christian." All right. Amen. Yeah, hey, I'm talking about our walk. I'm talking about somebody watching you. Amen. Hey, our walk ought to be a holy walk. Here's what he said, depart from evil and do good. Amen. Here's what he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. He said in Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse number 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Here's what the Bible said in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know who I have more trouble out of than anybody else? My wife. I can say that. She's not here. Amen. No. Who do I have more trouble out of than anybody else? The guy I shave every morning. Amen. Hey, it is a constant battle to beat my flesh into subjection. Amen. Hey, that's why Paul said, I die daily. His holy walk did not come by accident. Amen. Well, not only a holy walk, but our walk ought to be an honest walk. It says to do good. John said in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He said in Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I remember when we did business with a handshake and a word. But it ain't that way no more. Amen. But let me say this about Christian people. Christian people ought to be honest people. Amen. If they give you too much change at the fast food place, you ought to give it back. You're not take something, I don't care if it's a low-down paper clip. You're not take something from your job that don't belong to you. Amen. There's a name for that. It's called stealing. Amen. Come on, nod your head up and down. Am I telling it right? Hey, Christian people ought to be honest people. Amen. Some of the biggest crooks in the town that I live in are people that claim to know the Lord. Amen. Years ago, in this town, my daddy went to visit a fellow that was in business for himself. He turned and went into God. His wife was a member of our church. And when my dad went to visit him, he said this. He said, wait right there a minute, preacher. And we went in his back room and came out with a shoebox full of bills. He said, preacher, you want to know why I don't want nothing to do with your God? He said, these people are members of your church that owe me money that hadn't paid me. Guess what happened the next Sunday night? My daddy's a lot like me.
Amen.
You understand what I'm telling you? I don't want anything in my character. I'm talking about having an honest walk. I don't want anything to bring a reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, well, preacher, I'm not good. Hey, have you ever heard this? I can't come to church down there. That place full. Yep. Some of you look at me like a coon that kissed a skunk. You ain't had all you want, but you've had all you stand. Amen. Our walk ought to be a humble walk. Here's what he said in the last part of verse number 14. Seek peace and pursue it. Micah 6:8 said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? So take heed about your walk. And then you ought to take heed about your work. Look at verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, cut off remembrance of them from the earth. I always got tickled when I was pastor. People would try to avoid me in the grocery store, the dollar store. I mean, they'd see me coming and run. By the way, if I saw them run, I made sure I tracked them down. Made them talk to me. Amen. But I always got tickled, you know. I remember one day I saw one pull up at the bank. He wasn't even a member of my church. He was a member of my dad's church. And I saw him go, I got in my car and walked over and knocked on his side glass. I saw him drop that cigarette out the driver's side window. And he rolled the window down and started, what kind of stupid? I mean, I'm sitting there watching the smoke curl up. Well, I talked to him for a minute, and then I said, might want to pick a cigarette up, finish it, and left. My daddy caught me smoking one time. I didn't know he saw me before I saw him. I cupped that cigarette. My daddy's a mean man. He walked over and talked to me till that cigarette burnt me. And then that wasn't the only thing on fire. Amen. But they're worried about me sin. Hey, it ain't me you got to worry about. If you belong to the Lord, He's with you everywhere you go. Amen. Take heed about your work. Somebody mentioned this week about, you know, I'm tired here. Well, don't you know that God looks on the heart? That is right. But you remember this, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They're looking at what's on the outside. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. Hey, I tell you what we're doing in our day and time. We want to see, let me just say this. I hate five kinds of snakes. Live ones, dead ones, short ones, long ones, and fake ones. I hate them all. I'm not going to get, there's no such thing as a good snake as far as I'm concerned. Well, preacher, if their head's a triangle, they're not poisonous. I ain't getting that close. A snake will make me hurt myself. Trying to get away from it. When I see one, I don't say, let me see how close I can get to that without getting bit. I see how far I can stay away from them. But you know what we're doing? We know it's sin, but we're seeing how close we can get to it without it biting us. Amen. Here's what he said in Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Hey, I'm telling you, if you want to have a good life, take heed about your works. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, watch what you do. Hallelujah. Then I see fourthly, you ought to take heed about waiting. Verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Here's what he said in Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse number 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Some of the girls were talking about driving, about getting their driver's license. I remember what that was like. I could not wait to get my driver's license. Now I let my wife drive if she will, and I ride. I don't care about driving. I've done enough of it. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? We get so excited about the... Hey, let me say this to you, young people. Don't be in no hurry to find a mate. Pray about it. Wait on the Lord to send you the right one. Amen. You'd be better off to wait till you're 40 to get married than to marry the wrong one. By the way, that's the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. The first one is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That determines whether you're going to heaven or hell. And the second one is who you marry, and it has the same consequences. Heaven on earth or hell on earth. Amen. We're laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Well, I'm just simply saying, learn to wait. You know, wait, and I hate it. I'll just be honest about it. I prayed for patience once. I've never prayed for patience again. Amen. I don't like to wait on nothing. Amen. I don't like to wait in line at Walmart. I just don't like to wait. If you do, God bless you. But I'm telling you, you better not get ahead of God. Amen. You better not get behind God. Let's say this, if you're here and you're lost, you better not wait too late. You understand, there's going to come a day when God's going to shut the door and you won't ever be able to get saved. I don't care what Jenkins and LaHaye say in that book. If you miss the rapture, you're done for. Amen. Oh, man. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too long. The Bible said this in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him to all things which is the head, even Christ. Hey, you better learn to wait on the Lord. You want to know why we don't have no power with God? We don't spend no time waiting. Amen. Let me say this. Prayer is not always about you talking to God. There's a whole nother level of prayer where we just get in front of him and let him talk to us. Hey, well, then take heed about weeping. Look at verse number 8. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Hey, if the Lord wept, John 11:35, Jesus wept. If it's good enough for him, it'll be good enough for us. Amen. I tell you what we've done. We've lost our tears. Amen. When's the last time you sent tears in that meeting. Amen. When's the last time you got brokenhearted and got under a burden? Amen. Paul said this in Philippians 3. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He told us in Psalms, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. Hey, there's people I've been praying for years and years and years, and I got news for you, I ain't giving up now. I was telling Brother Wells tonight before church, my 9-year-old granddaughter got saved. I've been praying for her and for her sister and for some other lost members of my family. And she got saved a few weeks ago. She come in. She said, "Daddy, I got saved." He said, "Good." She said, "If you don't get saved, you're going to hell." He thought I put her up to it. I didn't tell the kid a thing. Amen. That's pretty good witnessing, though, if you ask me. Amen. Hey, she got under a burden. Do you understand? When's the last time you got under a burden for somebody? I'm talking about wept your way to God over their soul. Tears of sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of. Sorrow of the world. I'll tell you, I've done more since I've been saved. I've done some things that broke the heart of me. I'll tell you, I shed tears on my soul. Oh, sorrow that I call it. Then there's tears of separation. Here's what it said in Revelation 21, 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We're at the great white throne judgment. We are there in audience, not in judgment. God is judging all those who are lost. Amen. I believe we'll be there as witnesses. Why do you think the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes? Because we're going to stand there as they throw our loved ones. Amen. Hey, her girls are going to say, "Mama, you taught me how to put my makeup on. Mama, you taught me how to keep house. But Mama, you never taught me about God. Please, Mama, help me." Sons are going to tell their fathers, "You taught me how to work. You taught me how to make a living. Daddy, why didn't you teach me about your God?" Children and parents. Son, we gave life to you. Son, we loved you and cared for you. Why didn't you tell us about your God? People you work with, you knew. You have the strength. Why didn't you tell us? They'll sit there and feel. They're falling off. But then God will wipe up the ground. Because heaven would be heaven if we could remember those that we've left on. Take heed that we better be crying now. Give you one last one. Better take heed that worship. I'm talking about having a game now. Here's what he said in verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant. None of them that trust in him shall be disciplined. I'm going to tell you right now, I got so happy this afternoon just thinking about all of my friends and how their lives have turned out and how my life has turned out. Hey, I'm not telling you, my life's not perfect. I have a boy that loves God. I have other things in my life. And I'm telling you, there are things in my life that I'm not happy about. But Brother James, there's still a story in my life. I'm telling you. I got to think about how good God is to me. Tommy, where he sat me at is what I deserve and what I could have turned out like. And I'm telling you the goodness of God. I bless his wonderful name. Amen. And we are to take heed about worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Shame on you if you'll shout about a ball game and not shout about the Lord. Amen. I want you to understand, I love to watch Alabama play football. I'm a big Alabama fan. But I got news for you. When it got on in here Monday night, I wasn't even supposed to be here Monday night. I'd had trouble, car trouble, and I didn't know if I was going to get in until Tuesday or not. And when God started moving in this place, woo!
Yeah,
hallelujah!
Yeah,
I tell you, in my soul, I felt like doing the wave. Amen. You know, it's like the ball game when everybody stands up and goes, well, that's how I felt. Woo! I'm telling you, I ain't going to let somebody else do my worship for me. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in all that emotionalism. Liar. Just what you're emotional about. I had a guy tell me that one time. He said, I don't believe in all that emotionalism. I went to the ball game Friday night, and guess who I saw? I saw that guy didn't believe in all that most of him. You know what he's doing? He's running up and down the sideline, acting like a complete idiot. I went down to one end and waited on him. He came down there, I grabbed him by the shirt. I said, I thought you didn't believe in all that emotionalism. He said, this is different. I said, you're exactly right. I said, you're shouting and hollering about something that don't amount to a hill of beans. Oh, that ain't nobody going to remember 10 years from now. And I'm shouting because I'm on my way to heaven, not going to hell, just going to live forever. Woo! You better believe there's a difference. Hallelujah. I can't run no more, but I'm for it. Amen. Brother John went to walking the benches. I went to moving. I didn't want him falling on me. I'm for worship. Amen. I believe you ought to do it not just in the church house. I was down in Mississippi preaching a meeting. They took me deer hunting. I mean, real fancy. I'm talking about lodge. Private hunting areas and real tree blinds with the little windows. And I'm talking about it was on, friend. I'm looking forward to killing me a big old buck. Well, we got down there before dark. I mean, dark before daylight. So it's supposed to be in there so the deer can't see. Well, I got up there and I'm waiting around for it to get daylight. And so I thought, well, I got a little time. I said, why don't you do some praying? The Lord said, why don't you do some praying? So I got on and got to talk to God, and I had no intention. I planned on killing a big buck. But God showed up in that deer blind. You know, you're supposed to be quiet when you're deer blind. Next thing I know, I am having me a time, buddy. I'm a shouting and a hollering, woo! So much so that those guys I was hunting with got down and came down. And when I came out of the deer stand, they standing at the bottom of the tree. What in the name of God is going on? I said, me and the Lord's having a meeting. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about taking heed. Hey, you young people. Now, let me say this to you, parents. Young people ain't always going to get it. They don't know how. But I believe you ought to let them practice every time they want to. Amen. Don't get on to them for raising their hand. Don't get on to them for running around the building. Just let them do it. They'll figure it out. Do you understand? Amen. Do you want to have a good life? I'm telling you, the Christian life is the best life in the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for preaching the Word of God.
Lord, I do pray that you would help each and every one to draw nigh to you. God, I believe every time we take steps toward you, you move a long way our way. And I pray, Lord, you help us to do so. And in the silence of our men, I'm going to say, I love you.